Welcome back. It's another episode of the Awful Service Podcast. This is the podcast that is gluten-free. So if you have gluten-sensitive earlobes, good luck. Good for you, I should say. I will say, though, it is not vegan because this is a product of animals. It's me, Matt Doima, with...
Nathan Smezrud.
Nathan.
Yep.
I know it's impossible, but you're never going to believe it.
Believe what?
We're making awful history yet again.
It's out of hand.
I know. We're back in the world famous Bob's Comedy Bunker in Arden Hills. Shows every Friday and Saturday night. And that'd be enough. We could just do that. We could end the podcast right there. Just a big old advertisement for Bob's. But that's not enough.
It's not why you're here.
No. We have Third Mike and awesome Instagrammer for us.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah, because the two of us are just old men who don't understand technology. We got Rebecca Wilson on the show, everybody.
Hi.
Welcome back.
She's back. she's here to dethrone Cocozello.
I don't know if it's
impossible.
Impossible. Oh, what, that Wilson chick? Well, Wilson chick?
Was this sassy pants coming to my seat?
Keeping it warm for you, Joe. Keeping it warm.
Oh, Joe. Yeah, that's right. You haven't actually told Rihanna I have a big cock. So.
You don't know that.
You know what? I don't.
She's Instagram savvy. She you know, they could DMs. Be mutual friends or however that works.
I don't.
Your friends.
I know.
On the gram.
And the three of us could be enough for a podcast. It might have to be sometimes because people cancel on us. But we're making awful history today because we actually have the first comic adjacent person we call you. A musician for sure, and one of the writers of one of our jingles.
Yeah,
on the podcast, it's going to get a little strange in here because we have Zach Alwyn.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Welcome, buddy.
Welcome.
You look like Thor, but like in between the movies.
Yeah, right after Endgame, Thor. Getting
between
it back together.
Ragnarok and Endgame.
Yeah. So just look like the Big Lebowski.
Kind of.
Oh so, yeah, that works.
You have a very dudish vibe.
Definitely.
I like it.
Thanks for soft correcting me. That is, he is, in fact, not the Big Lebowski, but, in fact, the dude.
He is a Lebowski.
He is Abe Lebowski. The Big Lebowski was a dude in the chair.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's a little factoid for you.
Great. As I mentioned, you are part of the band Mr. Rogers and his make-believe friends.
Yeah, Mr. Rogers and the make-believe friends. That makes me Mr. Rogers and you guys all my friends. So,
Are we also make-believe friends?
Welcome to the band.
Oh.
Yeah, sweet. I've always wanted to be in a band.
Yeah.
I've never been part of that.
On your resume.
Yeah.
In a band.
Oh, I was in a band once. Really? Back in the rap rock days?
Continue.
Yeah. Yes. Some buddies of mine threw together a band called University. Sweet name.
That's an awesome name.
And our drummer, his folks were well off and like, oh, you want to be in a band? Here's all the equipment. And they bought him turntables to do the record scratching for the rap rocks.
Yes.
And no one knew how to do it. And I'm like, I'll figure it out. I don't give a shit. So I found like a bunch of records at Goodwill and made scratchy noises.
Just for the scratchy noises.
Yep.
That was beautiful.
Nate ruined in the band. Four copies of the White Album.
I picture it's like the Deliverance like soundtrack.
One of
like,
them
records.
Funny you say the White Album. One of them was the funk band, the Brothers Johnson, and they did a cover of Come Together on that record.
Really?
I scratched the shit out of that.
Thrift store records, I imagine, like the soundtrack for Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Really got it. All the Rodgers and Hammerstein.
No, there's a pretty sweet funk record at this Goodwill.
That's nice. I would expect like the King and I or something.
Fiddler on the Roof.
Nice. I'm just expecting, like, I'm just thinking, like, Starland Vocal Band, maybe some Bob Denver. Yeah, not John Denver.
Easy
Bob
listening.
Denver. No, Bob Denver, yeah. Comedy albums.
Yeah.
Just like, quit calling me Gilligan.
It's classic routine.
Yeah, right? I'm not your little buddy. Quit hitting me with your hat.
The abuse has to stop.
It does. So this is the Awful Service Podcast. It's a customer service-based podcast, but we all know what's coming up in that first segment.
Uh-oh.
Because you helped write this song.
Oh, no.
So here we are.
Show us your resume. Why should we hire you? Have you ever had a job write you up and fire you? Tell us all about yourself and your place of business. Talk about your former job, shit, and shady politics.
It was like, I remember the first
show
time I heard it.
Show us your resume.
It felt like I was a Native American looking at a landfill. It was that sort of, that's how prolific it was. If you want to talk about like writing the jingle first.
Oh, yeah. I helped.
Perfect. Another member of your band,
yes,
which apparently
Jerry
is everybody.
Yeah, Jerry. Everyone can come.
If you're listening to this, you're in the band too.
Yeah, you're there. If you're listening and you're one of our friends, welcome to the band. But our beloved Jerry Allricher, professional wrestler and make-believe friend.
Mm-hmm. Fan of the podcast.
Big fan of the podcast and decided that it needed a little sprucing up. So mm-hmm. We went down in the studio and we were recording some other jingles and some other ideas, working on demos and such, and knocked it out. Coincidentally or kismet, rewrote the lyrics at his, you know, customer service facing job.
Nice.
And he came in, I dropped a beat, made it happen. He blew me away writing the little like organy bits in the background, basically first try. It was
nice.
It was very fast and it was a lot of fun. We were just setting up, like, we had just set up some MIDI keyboard equipment for some stuff we're just experimenting with. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was like a trial run of that, and it was a lot of fun.
Well, we're all really grateful for it. I mean, it's so cool. We like, because we have what now? We have three different themes. We have the mm-hmm. awful theme song, which is at the beginning of the show. We have that, and then we have the one written by my friend John Houseworth, the Karen theme song.
Karen theme song.
We'll be hearing that one later.
Yeah.
So now we just need, we need two, maybe two, three more. So if you're a musician and a friend of the podcast, we need some jingles, so yeah, we like the music.
I only know how to scratch records.
Yeah. We do need that in the make-believe.
All right.
So if you have some old records lying around.
You got it.
Nice.
Let's go, yeah.
I just imagine you as DJ Lethal.
No, I remember my DJ name.
Please.
Hell yeah.
It's DJ Scratch and Sniff.
That's perfect.
That's amazing.
I would imagine you smelled like grapes.
I hate grape. No, it's not grape.
Cherry.
I'm no budding right now on that suggestion.
Fine. What would your scratch sniff been?
I don't know. Probably bananas.
No, fair enough.
It's bananas. This is bananas.
Actually, quick news segment called Dueling Cocozellos.
Is that what I sound like?
We brought it up on the last episode where Nate did a perfect Joe Cocozello impersonation. I did a not my audio wasn't great, but my you couldn't see it, but my physicality
was
perfect.
But you sounded like an old Jewish woman.
I don't see the difference.
Jewish woman.
So if Rebecca or Zach would like to do their impersonation of Joe Cocozello, have at.
Oh my god, I've already heard the competition and it's terrifying.
You just do your own interpretation. You're a musician. You're supposed to interpret.
You gotta embody the Cocozello.
That's right.
Unless you want to start us off.
It's a vibe more than anything.
Do you also have a gland that excretes cocaine?
mine is for psychedelics.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So here, you set the benchmark for me here while I get into Cocozello mode.
I don't know. I haven't spent that much time with Joe except for one time.
I haven't seen him in a couple years.
He was at a mic once and he was just like, I'm going to back up from the mic. Just said everything. And the bartender goes, not even the bartender, it was a patron who was trying to listen to the comics at the bar. And he goes, can you tell him to be quiet? Because he was trying to listen to the open mic, and I was like, you want to listen to the open mic? Joe, come on.
I'm having a good time. I get a little loud. I'm having a good time. I'm sorry. You need to tell me to shut up. If you tell me to shut up, I'll shut up. It's not a big deal.
I just find these comics delightful. Everything they say is funny, and I think it's great, and it's wonderful. But here's the thing. I'm drinking a flask of Jameson at the bar. I know you serve alcohol, but I have my own. But I will take a beer.
What are these? Are these your wife's muffins? These those muffins you brought the other day? Oh, these are delightful. These muffins, your wife's muffins.
We did that episode in October, I want to say, the Caitlin Jovelin episode.
Yeah,
he's still talking about those muffins. He will message me and he'd be like, "I just want your wife to know, those muffins are amazing." And if she ever wants to make them for me again, I will gladly take them. So one, Joe, we love you, but that's why we do this, because you're my favorite Muppet.
I love how somehow Joe Cocozzello has still sidetracked the podcast. Yeah. That's a tribute. It's a loving tribute.
I think he would be proud of that fact.
We're keeping the spirit alive. Rest in peace, Joe Cocozzello. What if he died before this came out? You guys would freak out.
I would be upset, but understanding. he's they say the stars that are brightest burn out the fastest, and that's definitely Joe. But we're not here to talk just Joe Cocozzello. Let's talk about your resume,
hey,
Zach.
I took the words to the rap song seriously. I brought my resume.
Oh, wow.
We're going to have to take photos of this.
Oh, no, don't do that.
We'll just have you holding.
Please.
The best thing is
redact everything.
He actually printed out, and this is true.
This is my updated resume.
This is legit. This isn't even like a joke. He literally printed his resume, which is appropriate because right now,
you know, we're looking for work.
Something like we tried to get Andy Keenan a job. Now we're trying to get Zach Allen a job.
Why not?
New theme, new
segment. Hire our guests.
Ooh, it really rolls off the tongue. I'll work on
get that sweet Indeed.com sponsorship.
Ooh, we're looking for
Monster
Insight. All right, so let's talk some of your jobs.
Hey, where do you want to start?
Whatever you want, beginning or the end, noteworthy.
Well, I recently departed from a job at Guitar Center, slinging the very musical drugs that I partake in myself.
Did you have a guy that looked like Nate looking for turntables?
just about every day, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, the
drum boards.
Yeah, people think that they can innately just
building my studio.
Yeah, I'm starting small.
Hear that? Yeah. Please tell me you got that probably daily, right?
Oh, I'm working on my studio. What can I? I need a full recording vocal setup. I got $100.
How many dad bands came in there?
Oh, it's like 90% dad bands. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Well, it's
the weekend warrior crowd.
Yeah, like real musicians go to pawn shops, let's be honest.
To sell the stolen gear from the night before,
right?
Yeah, no.
my dad worked at a music shop for a while. And
what job has your dad not worked?
We're the same guy. We've had so many jobs.
No, it's great. But like, he's been let me see the ones that I can remember.
Okay.
He's a photographer.
Yeah.
He was a corn silo manager?
Yeah. Sunflower seed.
Sunflower seed. I do apologize. It was a sunflower seed silo manager. Oh, God. I know there's a couple more, but Jesus. He's a
furniture salesman. Yep. He's currently a janitor.
Oh. Or a master of the custodial arts.
That's right. He's a maintenance technician. But no, he worked at a music store, a local one in my hometown, because it's not a big enough place to have a Guitar Center. So it was like the town's Guitar Center. It was the one big music shop in town. And he said all they would ever get were just the metalheads that would come in there and just grab all the big flying V guitars and like Ibanez.
The shiniest,
and all.
Pointiest guitar. Yep, shiniest. Can find.
And they sit there and they just finger tap in there all day long. Never buy a thing. Yep. They just come there and just finger tap scales all day.
You really learn to tune it out. It's crazy what you can tolerate. The worst is having full drum sets, several of them set up.
Oh.
And then people treat Guitar Center like it's daycare.
they're going to drop off their midlife crisis while we go shopping.
Right. They drop off dad over at the Gibsons. They drop off the kids over at the drums. And then mom's just wandering around and it's unsupervised children banging on drums. That's always super fun.
I just have this image of like all the... I have to just because I just think Wayne's World.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, like the drum set, like, I like to drum, you know, or like...
No one ever that talented.
Did you ever deny anyone from playing Stairway to Heaven?
No
Stairway.
You got to pull it off kind of ironically. you can't be a dick. You'd be like, oh, hey, don't you know the rules? No Stairway. Also, like, buy something or get the fuck out.
Yeah. There's also that.
Right.
This is true.
But, you know, it can never quite work that way, but...
What's the weirdest instrument you had there? Like, in terms of, like, just unique or different, like, did you have, like sitars or any of that shit?
We didn't have too much cool stuff we could actually sell. By the end there, we ended up with two accordions, and I started teaching myself accordion.
That's awesome.
That's the kind of shit you can pull when you work at a music shop. You know, just disappear for a little while into the back and give yourself an accordion lesson on your shift.
Just get all Weird Al over there or what?
It's a wonderful instrument. Oh, it's incredibly intuitive for some reason. I think it's having drummer brain from my initial musical experience. It's something about like keeping the rhythm with this one hand while, you know, it's goofy. But it's super fun.
And Guitar Center is more of your like big chain move mass product type thing. You're not going to find too much specialty stuff.
Special
there.
Order it, I'd assume.
A majority of it, but a lot of the weird stuff we had to turn away, and sometimes that would end up with me just owning it. So I've got an auto harp that somebody just desperately wanted to get rid of.
I don't know what an auto harp is.
So it's like a harp with little bracketed valves or like these big buttons that'll mute certain strings.
Okay.
So you strum it, and you're strumming all the strings or sections of it, and the ones that aren't muted are the ones that are making the chords that are labeled on it. It's super, super Renfest-y. Yeah, exactly like that. That second one in.
We're gonna have to. Definitely. Yeah. Save that photo. We're putting it on our social media. Because I guarantee I'm not the only one. That's right.
Billy Connolly famously played one. Irish comedian storyteller.
Poor Billy Connolly. He's suffering from cancer.
Oh geez. You know, Ozzy's got
Parkinson's.
Yeah. And as of the day we recorded today, one of the pythons is dead.
Yeah.
It's God, we'll have to edit.
I'm blanking. Yeah. We'll do a voice drop.
It's not Michael Palin.
No.
No.
And Graham Chapman's already dead.
Yeah.
Terry.
Not Gilliam, but.
No. The other Terry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jalen, just edit this out just like when we had to edit out the part about Maddie.
Make us look cool.
Did you hear that?
No.
Oh, on the episode where it, like, because, like, this is probably going to get edited
this
out.
This is off the air.
But the two episodes we recorded, we were still in the impression that Maddie was going to be our Karen of the Week. And actually, you know, leave this in. This is interesting.
Oh, no.
And like he goes like, so we do our whole thing like Madeline Lynch. He goes, and a voice of Karen always is Rebecca Wilson. And it's this weird like.
Oh, yeah. I heard that. I was listening to it today. And I'm like on the treadmill. And I was like, what was that? Well, like Joe wasn't the weirdest part of the episode for me. It was Rebecca Wilson.
Well, yeah. It's because like we always would go on about her. But you are Karen 2.0.
Yeah.
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 So.
Terry Jones.
Terry Jones.
There we go.
Let's get a clean slate of everyone saying Terry Jones so they can just edit in where we're like.
3, 2, 1.
Terry Jones.
Professional.
This is the most professional podcast in the Twin Cities, sir. We are in a bunker.
Because everyone else records right outside the Twin Cities in the suburbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're not in the
suburbs. You're not going to be safe at Dan Bublitz's apartment.
Or actually, that was in the city. Well, hang on.
St. Paul.
Yeah. Different anyway, city.
So you work at Guitar Center.
Worked.
Worked. Yeah, no, so you worked at Guitar Center.
Yeah, I'll
thank
tell
you for the past tense.
I'll tell you anything about them. We'll burn that place to the ground.
Hell sure. Yeah.
What was the most overpriced thing that was there?
That was there? I mean, it was
like in terms of like, you know, that like they're just making a huge markup on it.
Ooh, that's tough because like all those big guitar names that really get the numbers up there, they take a big cut.
Gibson?
Yeah. It was usually a Gibson or two that were like the most expensive, usually ranging up to 4,000, but not you like.
Yeah.
We the most expensive thing actually would be a Taylor acoustic that was going for like $8 when we had it in. I sold a couple of those.
Ooh.
One
fell off the back of a truck.
Yeah. One ended up in my trunk. It was a freak accident.
I don't know how it happened. I wonder why you don't work there anymore.
take the money and run.
Hey.
I had one customer come in. This was one of the biggest single item sales that I've had there, while simultaneously being one of the most heartbreaking moments. Mm-hmm. This very, very well-to-do gentleman comes in.
Was he wearing a top hat?
He was not, but I could have been if it makes this story better for you.
I do. A monocle. Okay. I want him to look like the Monopoly.
Absolutely.
Man.
He looks like, at first glance, you wouldn't be like, oh, super wealthy guy. But, like, he was, like, casual wealthy, where, like, I'm like, oh, that's, like, an $800 shirt. But it looks like your normal shirt. It was the little fine details. It was the watch and the shirt and all of a sudden the cologne. And I'm like, what's up? How can I help you? He's like, oh, well, my wife has a white baby grand piano. Has. I didn't say plays. I said she has in her music lounge.
Mm-hmm.
And we want an acoustic guitar to accompany it. So,
the piano's okay. Lonely.
Yeah, it needs an all-white acoustic guitar to go with it. Any all-white acoustic guitar, maybe under $800, looks super, super cheesy.
Right.
It's the worst. So I'm like, well, how far can we take this guy? Like, what are we willing to make it not look like a crappy guitar next to a really nice piano?
Let's fleece this guy.
I just wanted to see what was possible. So I got his email and got in touch with him through there. Ended up calling around different acoustic guitar makers, and like Taylor never really got through. Martin, I never really got through to them.
Mm-hmm.
Gibson Acoustics answered me directly. I ended up getting like the direct phone number to one of the heads of their floor. They're just, I want to shout them out because Gibson Acoustics, not only is it the brand that I play, but they're just the sweetest people.
So Gibson, if you want to sponsor a podcast,
Gibson
or
Acoustics.
Sponsor a band.
Yeah, send me a new
or
J50.
Or sponsor a podcast band.
Yeah, make this man a sales rep while you're at it.
While we're at it, let's.
He's selling for you on a podcast that's listened by tens of listeners.
Tens of people are hearing about Gibson Acoustics and what great people they have making those guitars.
Right.
I can't say anything for Gibson Electric. Fuck those guys.
Jalen, edit that out.
No, make that louder, Jalen. Edit that out. Edit in Gibson Electrics. Get your shit together, okay? Get your shit together. Anyway, that's a sidetrack.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so they were going to release like three all-white Gibson Acoustics of their like three biggest models, $5,000 minimum. And he's like, I've got like one of the early like pre-releases in the office here with me. I can send it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's get this guy, let's get your customer happy. And I ended up selling it to the guy. And I don't think it's been played to this day. It's just sitting
just
on display.
Sits in a room
next to a white
next
piano.
To an all white piano.
A so virgin huge, white.
A super
guitar.
Exciting hunt, huge heartbreaking ending.
it just feels like they wear like one of those like an all white linen suit in the room just because it's like it's Sunday. It's we're in the white room today, you
stand
know?
Around in the white music room.
It's the type of people that don't sit on the furniture that they own. You know what I mean?
No, they stand.
They have like several rooms that's just like, oh, that couch was 10 grand. how comfy is it? I've never sat on it. I'm just like picturing like the White Album. Speaking of the White Album, I'm just picturing like the Lennon, Yoko Ono shit, you know, or they're just hanging out in all white suits, man. That's where my mind.
Maybe they go that far with the theme of the room, like the White Album is all that's being played in that room.
Wait, are you referring to the Butcher cover? Where they're wearing all white.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it.
I see.
All right. Any other stories from Guitar Center that kind of come to mind?
Oof. From Guitar Center, I don't know. It's your standard high intensity sales situation. Lots of I would call them Mitchell Karens. Mm. They're coming in and looking to get their child started on
a guitar virtuoso.
Yeah, on the tightest budget they could think of. Where guitars in nature they tend to add up quickly with little things you need,
strings, amp, chords.
And if you're playing a $150 guitar, I truly think that you're not going to get the enjoyment of it not feeling and sounding like shit, even when you don't suck at it. Like, I feel like the more you suck at guitar, the better the guitar should sound to keep you, you know, not hindered and also feeling it. Mm-hmm. Where if you play like shit and it sounds like shit, it's gonna be super discouraging.
Right.
But they want to buy the house brand, $150 piece of wood with strings on it.
The plastic that's molded to look kind of like wood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They don't quite understand. And then they put all the pressure on the kid. And they're like, well, what do you want? Well, what do you think? This could be your birthday and your Christmas, but I don't know. What do you think? Are you going to be playing it in 6 months? Are you going to be playing it in 6 months?
You're seeing birthmas gifts?
Exactly.
Oh, that's...
It's heartbreaking.
And then like they buy him like, and it's only $150 guitar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, but you're going to have to learn on your own. YouTube, buddy. You're going to learn on YouTube, pal.
Oh, my God. Were you there? I've heard that quote so many times.
I'm sure there has to be some great free online resources.
We'll look up classes. Let's not get a book.
Let's ask the Norsk-looking man over there if he knows some free ways to learn guitar.
Do you know any free tuner apps? I'm like, oh, come on.
Really?
You're killing me.
And electric tuners aren't really that expensive.
Nah, they're worth it.
Yeah.
They're a lot less frustrating.
I play guitar poorly. I had a Jackson Charvel.
Ooh, hate Jacksons.
Yeah. With the strap down. It had the strap down bars. So you had to you actually had to tune it off key.
Oh, nice.
Oh, it was the worst.
Yeah.
And that's the reason I don't play guitar anymore. Because that was my first guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get an acoustic, didn't get a Fender, didn't get a Gibson. No, they got me this, like, it looked like I was trying to be part of a Warrant cover band. It was that color red. If you get, like, it was like 80s. Like 80s Chevy red, like, and it had like you could use the top of it could be used to fight off vampires. It had like the big, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Like it was a stabby looking motherfucker, and I was terrible at it. I should have played bass with these giant hands instead. Like, I'm not genetically supposed to play electric guitar. I have bowling ball hands. Like, legitimately, I should play bongos, and that's it.
Yeah.
I'm not, musically speaking, I was a singer.
Yeah, I got nothing against the singing bongo players.
Yeah. Shout out Matthew McConaughey. What's up?
Hey. You want to do the podcast? Shout out John Stamos, Kokomo. Anyone?
I remember. That was my favorite part of Full House.
Yeah, but that brings...
You were just randomly like, I'm going to go tour with the Beach Boys for a while.
Super weird. From a basement garage band. Oh, and I'm friends with the Beach Boys.
Like,
well,
if I could Freaky Friday with a person for like a weekend, I think John Stamos would be pretty high on that list. Even like now, John Stamos, he's still gorgeous. He's a great looking man.
He is.
Yeah, and then he would just be like, why am I in this like giant Midwesterner's body? And he'll be confused. But I don't know, he'll probably make better love to my wife than I can. It'll be wonderful. Anyway, so when you weren't working at Guitar Center, what were some other jobs you had?
Well, I like to try and make money performing, such as working with our new wrestling organization that we're a part of. The Make Believe Friends are a big part of starting, which is the Live Pro Wrestling Show. Hey!
Yay!
Woo!
Jazz hands.
Yeah, jazz hands.
Your hands are too big for that. Don't do it again.
make me
now
sad.
They're blues.
Those
hands.
Bebop hands. Rock steady hands. Hey,
good Ninja Turtles reference.
Actually, I was referencing the musical form that those two were named after, which I posit that there was a third in that duo of bad guys. His name would be Ska. So it was Bebop and Rocksteady, which were offshoots of
which one
Ska
was which?
Before reggae. And then there would be a fourth would be reggae.
Bebop
was the pig.
Bebop kind of looked like he was in a Ska band.
Well, they're all related in the musical, in genre branches, Bebop and Rocksteady. Like,
well, when you're Rocksteady, I think more hip-hop.
Well, it still came from Ska. Like, Ska started reggae, Bebop, and Rocksteady.
That reminds me of my favorite joke that no one ever gets when I do it on stage. I go, there's a new cook at my restaurant. He's a bassist in a ska band. And every time he finishes an order, he goes, tick it up, tick it up, tick it up.
That's
the
funny
only
for
people
all...
who laugh at it are like a very specific subgenre
it's just me.
It's just you and Devin. That's it. It's my favorite stupid joke I tell.
It.
But
it's
it makes
great.
But when people laugh at it, I'm like, hey, you play Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2. I love it.
My favorite ska joke is to end a ska song with pick it up, and say, no, 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 put it down. And then and then we do a heavy metal breakdown. Put it down!
Well, the good news is if there's ever a reboot of Inspector Gadget, you could be Claw.
I'll get you next time, Gadget. I'll get you next time, Gadget.
Yeah. No, yeah, put it out there. Voiceover.
So if you're
work.
Trying to reboot the Inspector Gadget franchise, hire Zach to be your Claw.
They did. It's on Netflix.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, he does say that he is well traveled, years of experience overcoming language barriers.
That's right.
Ooh. Language barriers.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time with a bunch of foreign exchange students.
Oh.
Yeah, we actually, like, I had a foreign exchange brother from Argentina, and then we ended up going on, like this big trip with all the foreign exchange kids, 100 different kids from all over the world. So I was rooming with a dude from Germany, a dude from Japan. We were traveling around with, you know.
And a guy from Italy, you called yourself the Access.
How did you know I was German?
Wild guess.
Yeah. Actually, there was a really cool dude from Italy. Thank you very much. he liked referencing the Love Guru. It was a different time.
I think he just liked putting ketchup on Pop-Tarts. That was really...
Wait, was that a part of that movie?
Yeah, that Justin Timberlake's character in that movie... was his hockey player, and his like he's like, I'd like to put ketchup on Pop-Tarts. It was just, it was a really dumb movie. But
it really
like,
was.
The only part of it that I thought was really funny was Stephen Colbert as the announcer.
At the hockey game?
At the hockey games, yeah. That was pretty funny stuff. The rest of it was kind of
yeah,
I did not
when
see
he,
that.
He switched out Namaste for Mariska Hargitay. Yeah. I like that part. So you'd give him the hands together and say Mariska Hargitay, who's an actress.
So you're traveling with a bunch of foreign exchange students.
Yeah. You know,
I'm sure the people from Argentina. Did the people from Argentina? Did they look Argentinian or did they look more like you?
You know, I think that shaped what in my mind an Argentinian looks like. Just kind of like a tan hobbit.
See, that's more Argentinian, but I studied abroad. Her name was Ula. I also studied abroad in Germany, and there was a lot of Argentinians who spoke suspiciously very good German,
mm-hmm.
and they were
it's
all
funny. Same thing happens in reverse in Argentina.
Right? There were a lot of blondes, but they spoke perfect Spanish, and they never liked talking about their grandparents.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's a big old thing.
I wonder why that is.
Please write in and tell us why that is.
I don't get it. You got some secrets down there? What's on? What's going on? What are you hiding in those Falklands? Is that why England bombed them? Any rate.
Yeah.
So you were talking about, you travel with foreign exchange students, but you're talking about the wrestling thing.
Yes, the wrestling. Mm-hmm. Oh, what would you like to know?
Is it real?
It is as real as it needs to be.
That's all I needed to know.
These are really people falling from heights on top of each other.
For sure.
Punching each other in various places.
So you guys are like the house band for
it,
right?
So we would typically play like before the show begins, during intermission, while people are out buying their alcohol and merch, and buying our merch. Hey, go buy our merch. And then we close out the show with songs that make people want to fucking leave so we can tear down the ring.
Yeah.
So it's that ska song?
Yeah. Yeah. We bust out some ska. We bust out a little ABBA, and usually it clears everything up. But it's super fun. It's presented by the Renaissance, Ricky Noren, friend and former comedian Ricky Noren.
Shout out, Ricky.
Shout out to Ricky. But you know, it's the weirdest thing in wrestling right now, I'd say.
So it's good.
Yeah, it's super great.
Yeah, because I like that was what made me like it as a kid. It was always the weird gimmicky shit,
right?
You know?
Yeah, we're not afraid to get real gimmicky and make believe. Jerry Allricher, our bass player, he wrestles. So it's just been announced that they're going to be reuniting Team Friendship. Just Jerry Allricher and Stonehenge as our favorite tag team in the Make Believe Friends.
Nice.
I don't know who they're facing yet, but it's just been announced. Team Friendship is back.
Have you ever gotten in the ring?
I have not yet.
So are you going to try?
It might happen.
Nice.
We'll see. We gotta.
Are you at least going to be like? Have you ever like the guest refereed or anything like that?
I might be ring announcing this time, but we'll see what happens there. You gotta be knowledgeable about wrestling to referee.
Okay.
As far as I've gone, it's commentary, which you still should know what wrestling moves are called, but I don't. So I sit there and go, wow, he really, oh boy, that was a thing. Oh, he just did it. Look at that. And let the other guy go, oh, it was a high leg lariat over there. And da da da. And
He did a leg there, the thing with the legs.
He did the thing. He did a leggy thing.
He totally kneecapped that motherfucker. Just start breaking out other shit like that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to say, but I kept it on brand.
Oh, you have to keep it PG, I suppose. There probably are kids in the audience.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And the wrestlers can sometimes hear you commentating.
And that's how Zach got hit with a chair.
last live pro wrestling show, I definitely did my share of shit talking with the wrestlers in the ring because I had a microphone.
Nice.
From the, you know, and so at one point, BJ Seastrom, huge guy, wears a chain, like, but white guy, not like a Mr. T kind of thing. Just picture me, but fuck it like that.
For the audience, he just did a pirouette.
Yeah.
Straight ballet.
Just,
you know?
And then I followed it up with a backflip.
It was amazing.
It was great. I love an audio medium.
Yep.
It's really
we're not ready for video.
Yeah, he was like, you shut the hell up with that guitar. And I was like, oh, you better watch yourself or I'm going to have to come down there and teach you a lesson about friendship. So there's still that beef in the air. And I think we might have to settle that at one of these shows.
It's almost like one of your best friends is a wrestler and can maybe train you how to do that or something.
We allegedly, this is not true. I'm lying right now for protection of everyone. But yeah, we get drunk and roll around in the basement. I mean, no, Jerry Allricher always practiced safe. Now Devin Cook, the comedian, on the other hand, he'll always throw down.
Hey. That's true.
Have some wine, we'll fight.
This is a true story. So back on Halloween, Mr. Rogers and the Ms. Make Believe Friends actually were the house band for the Keller open mic.
Hey, Keller.
And Devin did a set. And at the very end of it, there's this giant man. Giant man. And he just runs up and jumps in his arms. And I don't mean like this guy made me small. Like he was like the mountain from like Game of Thrones. Like just this big burly dude. And Devin is fun sized. He's a petite man. He's a little guy, and he just immediately just jumps in his arms. It was both wild and actually kind of erotic.
John Stamos, this mountain John guy Stamos. At the Keller.
My wife just says no other women.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey, yeah. Devin's like a fun-sized Tootsie Roll. Yeah, you can bend him in all sorts of fun ways.
So what you do with Tootsie Rolls? I normally eat them.
Oh, you gotta eat,
just sit around
gotta,
and bend them.
You gotta like warm them up a little bit. Okay. Like a balloon like when a you're blowing stick. Up balloons. Yeah.
What he's trying to say is he warms up Devin before he puts it in his mouth. He warms it up with his hands.
Absolutely done.
His Tootsie Roll in his mouth. Hey, I never said you guys weren't great friends.
Hey, we're the best of make-believe friends.
There you go. So you do that, that's like a once a month sort of thing?
It's happening quarterly now. So the next one is March 1st, the Minsky Theater. Tickets on sale for general admission right now. Wait for those front row seating tickets. They're worth it.
Yeah, you can get Jerry Ehrlicher's sweat on you.
That's the best pronunciation or mispronunciation of that Ehrlicher.
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 I'm going to call him that, Ehrlicher.
Oh, no.
That's all.
Oh, no.
Keep the Earls away from him. I tell you what. Hey. Oh, he'll lick them. He loves licking Earls.
Hey.
So Jerry Ehrlicher, big Ehrlicher.
You're going to want to be in the front row at that audience.
Yeah. Get your licks in. Come on. Line them up.
He'll get to the Tootsie Roll Center.
Aw. Jerry's our little Tootsie Pop. he's listening, by the way.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know he's listening. He listens first day. He's messaged me the afternoon after I dropped these before. It's like, it's a really good episode.
So
I love you.
He didn't like podcasts when I met him. And then I turned him.
Hey.
I turned him with the Todd Glass Show. Hey.
Oh. That's right. You did a house band
with
for
Todd
him.
Todd Glass. Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Speaking of house banding, that's a thing that we've been doing for 3 years now going.
So every time he's in the Twin Cities, he has you house band.
Right. The first 2 years we were working at the now defunct Royal Comedy Theater, forever rest in peace. Is pieces for you know that place. It's okay to talk ill of the dead, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it's just the Royal Comedy Theater.
We can shit on that place all day long.
Nate's got stories about the Royal.
Fuck that place.
when Todd was there and everything was running extremely nervously.
Well, he was probably the biggest act that place
right.
ever gone.
Yeah. He would save up his lunch money to afford Todd once a year.
Yeah. They got some other big. Like,
he's listening, by the way. He's listening right now.
I know. Actually, he does listen. He's commented on her stuff.
Oh,
he wants to be on.
Oh, I love him.
It's not happening. Todd Glass. If you want to do, Todd Glass wants to do it.
Oh, yeah.
You're welcome. You think Jimmy John's, man?
You think Joe Coccozello derails a podcast?
Oh, I know. I would put him till Todd gets on the same episode and just let it happen.
That'd be I wouldn't get it worded. I'd love every second.
I would want Todd to do Joe Coccozello.
Yeah. He would do a great Joe Coccozello for sure.
I love it.
But so, how was it the first time?
So the first time I was actually put in as like band filler with a different band. You know, it was kind of weird. And it was scheduled only for the final show we did, which was at the Hopkins Children's Theater. So it was the big headline show of the Royal Comedy Theater's little fake comedy festival. So they faked a comedy festival and was like, Todd, will you headline the comedy festival? Essentially. And I mean, they did it. It wasn't fake. You know, the walls weren't cardboard except for at the Children's Theater, but that's just to be expected. But it was literally put on as a ruse to offer Todd maybe less money than he probably would have gotten. I don't know. That's all that royal drama speculation. So the first night, you know, he did the show. I was scheduled just to do the one at the comedy theater or the children's theater, where he was doing little spots at the end of the regular shows at the Royal.
Gotcha.
First night he does it, calls me back the second night or the afternoon of the second day, like, we were just visited by
the specter,
the ghost of Bob's Comedy Bunker. Is that Bob?
That's Jacob Marley.
What are you all doing in my bunker?
That's the ghost of Joe Coccozello, because remember, he's dead now.
Oh yeah, Joe.
R.I.P.
No, that's what he
agent.
You know, that's what he looked like on the inside.
It's your ghost. That's what his soul looks like.
That makes a lot of sense. It was a real visual gag with the podcast audience. I don't know. Be discerning. But so he calls me the second day, like, hey, can you make it to Hopkins? We got to make some changes. Can you bring like an acoustic guitar or something? I don't know. Wear all black. Just wear all black. I'm like, okay. So I show up in a black top hat, black suit with my acoustic guitar and a black amp. And we set up by the door and I just played music as people were kind of coming in for the next show. Because he started, you know, obviously he came in and started doing his Todd Glass thing where he's unscrewing light bulbs and he's making it all, you know, like similar to how we've done it here. You know, lit some candles and made it a little more ambient, a little more comfortable for everyone. But so, you know, hung out with him there. And then we went and did the theater show on the big main stage there. Mm-hmm. And I was just playing bongos with a band that didn't really apparently know of Todd his shtick. They were recommended by a friend who was a podcast fan who was like, oh, I know a band. Which is not really what Todd prefers.
Well, no, because he wants people to understand his beats.
Right. So they were, you know, and they were trained and had tons of notes. And then I just kind of sat there and tried to help. But the next year we brought in all make-believe friend band plus Sydney Oxborough as an additional make-believe friend.
What does Sydney play?
He played the spoons and the whistles and the bells and the
The sound effects.
He did the lead mumble role, as we call it.
Nice. hopefully future guest of the podcast.
Yeah. Bring him in.
We want to have him on.
He'll talk to you about Buddhism or Taoism or whatever he's practicing right now. He's a full-fledged monk at this point.
Hey.
I think he's trying to become a Jedi. I don't know.
He'll get there.
He'll get there.
Nice.
Yeah, I was at the Royal shows with Todd Glass because he did a warm-up set that when they were still having their open mic night and ran through what he was doing for that weekend. And then I came to one of the late shows and got to hang out, you know, just did the comic hang thing in the green room with him. And he comes up to me, he's like, you're a comic, right? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, what's your name? And I'm like, Nathan Smezard. And he goes, don't ever change it.
You got Todded.
Nice.
Was that when we had the keyboard player?
Yeah.
That was that week. That was the second year. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was going to say about like having Todd at the Royal made it a whole lot better because not only is he making it nicer, but Mike's just dropped all the rules for the green room. So you're down there just Cheech and Chong in the green room like crazy. And he put out all sorts of snacks and whatnot. Yeah. I saw Cheech and Chong up on the wall there. Hell yeah.
Topical.
Yeah, we got what Laurel and Hardy over there. I got Rush Limbaugh staring at me. Podcast.
That one's moved.
Yeah, I know.
It used to be on the other side of the room.
Rush, maybe, how'd now you it's get over there? Smezard.
Maybe it was the ghost of Joey Coco Diaz.
He's a different guy.
Different guy.
Similar voice.
Yeah, you know, they're kind of the same person, just different iterations.
They literally use the term motherfucker.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, no, that actually checks out. I think. Have you ever seen them in the same room together?
I've never.
Well, we better look into that, gang.
Okay. So you did it this year too, right?
Yeah. So this year we got to do it at the Acme Comedy Company. Hey, so we had to trim down the band some.
Space.
So it was myself, Jerry, Mr. Rogers, Jerry Ulricher, and Andrew Wegleitner as lead mumble. Super fun. Tight little crew.
Nice.
And we did that. We actually that week we ended up because that was the same week we did the first live pro wrestling show.
Oh, cool.
So we had eight shows in 6 days.
That'd have been cool if Todd would have went to the wrestling.
Yeah, I was trying to rope him in.
Like, come on, man, just come out. You don't even have to do anything. Just come and watch.
Seriously.
He would have loved it, honestly.
I would have loved to see Todd Glass do a swan bomb onto
We were trying to get him to be Jerry Ulricher's manager and just come out and start yelling at everyone. It was a role he was born to play.
He could be the heel. It would be great.
Absolutely.
He'd be a great heel. Todd Glass, I know you're listening because we're going to tag you in this episode. And come be Jerry Ulricher's or Ehrlicher's.
Don't bring Earl. If you know an Earl, don't bring him.
He's not safe.
He's not safe.
Or if Earl likes to be licked, bring him.
Bring him. If that's his jam.
And only
we are not
down.
Here to kink shame on this podcast. All right?
We're here to lick Earls.
Just like it was an NBC sitcom. So... You've been a musician for Todd Glass.
Mm-hmm.
You've been a musician for me.
Uh-huh.
And you write the stuff.
I scored the pick it up joke.
And also You've worked at a guitar center.
That's right.
So what? Have you done some non-musical gigs?
Yeah. I mean, I used to work at like Super America.
Did you also write that theme song?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the now defunct Super America.
Oh no! Now it's the convenience store of Speedway. It's so awkward because it doesn't roll off the tongue.
Right.
It's not the same consonants. And I love it, but they still had to like, we're keeping this.
Yeah.
We're just going to change the name.
Edit it out real quick.
Just found a different jingle.
No. Got to stick with what works.
Speedway, get Mr. Rogers and his make-believe friends. They will write their great jingle rights.
Hey, it comes from a deep place of experience.
So much employment.
That's all we're about. This is employ Zach Alwyn, all right?
Hey, do that.
You'd be so gainful.
Yeah. The band likes to do things. You know, put us on your show. I don't know. We'll play music. We'll figure it out.
There you go.
That's what we do.
So when you worked for Super America, is there anything that comes to mind? Any?
Well, how I got fired was pretty fun.
Oh, God. We like those stories.
Yeah. I figured that's like the name of the game. But basically, I mean, Super America may have been one of the easiest jobs I've ever experienced.
Yeah,
like it's not hard if you have half a brain to figure out what the fuck you're doing. We had a new district manager who was really, really trying to prove herself and make a point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to really crack down on these stores and I'm coming at this new positive angle. Everyone just hated her for it. She was just intolerable.
Take that shit to Quick Trip.
Yeah, seriously. Go to a store that cares. Come on. So, you know, we had when you go to the pump and you hit the button, it for this store, it would give like an alert inside where they have to go and look and visually confirm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they basically want to make sure you're not going to run away with gas. We have to just quick assess the situation, do a little talk back so they know, hey, you're being watched, but also like, would you like to pay inside or not? Okay, authorize the pump. You're good to go. She decided that she was going to take it upon herself while we're busy with customers. She went out and started like pulling the handles on pumps. And like, I don't know what she was doing, but she wasn't doing it right because I wasn't getting like alerts. You know, we weren't getting the little pop up things. It was like someone's trying to pump gas.
Right.
So I don't know what she thought she was doing, but she wasn't doing it right. But she basically comes in and starts like screaming at the staff in front of customers about not authorizing pumps or like oh, it authorized for gas without anyone talking to me. And we were like, no, because we do the thing you're testing for is like it's day one. Like we do that all day, every day, and write down people's license plates and the whole nine. And her little test of us, apparently, you know, which was horribly misconducted. You know, it got under my skin, and I was under the impression I was basically told the only way to get fired from this job is if they catch you stealing lottery cigarettes, whatever.
Yeah,
it's like the only way to get fired. that was frowned upon, but you know they had the fountain. They don't really care. They were worried about the you guys are like taking all these cups. We're losing money in cups to you guys. Yeah, that's what they were really worried about. You know, drink all the Mountain Dew you want, but here's your single, like your one plastic cup you get to use. Or yeah, ridiculousness. Anyway, so
you should have got one of those like 60 some ounce sips.
Seriously,
I've always been enamored by that with gas stations. Those like where it's over a gallon of soda pop, and then people just go up and it's always like a Holiday or a Super America.
But they're saving like 75 cents by having their own cup.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, it's just like you're just asking for diabetes at this point. You're just bring it on.
Praying to the god of diabetes.
Right?
Begging for the sugar foot.
Did you ever catch it? That would actually be a great name of an album title. Or no, Begging for the Sugar
Begging
Foot.
Begging for the Sugar Foot.
Or you should make a song called Begging for the Sugar Foot.
Yeah, why not?
There you go.
Let's just do it.
Let's have it.
So anyway.
So you're going to...
So she's
testing you. You've already hit your limit,
right? I think you know I'm untouchable. They're training me to be the manager anyway. So
you were in management training.
they were like, well,
I shouldn't laugh at that. At the same time,
yeah, I did this while they're like grooming me to be a manager, and you know, I like didn't freak out yelling at her, but things got really condescending where I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Are you seriously coming in here and yelling at us for this bullshit when we're trying to deal with your customers? Like, do you have sand in your vagina? Can you please leave us alone and let us do our job?
Wait. Yes. Did you actually say
this
to
is,
her?
This is as closely paraphrased as I can remember from back. So,
that's something you don't forget telling a person.
Yeah, that one sticks out as a quote in my mind at that time. And so she's like, well, you can just leave. And I'm like, yeah, I was gonna. That was not a I'm out. I'll see you later. And she got moved to another district after all was said and done. Everyone, you know, she was a problem. She was a Karen, by the way. She was a Karen. What she would come in and do is, like, her little joke or sketch in her head is like, would you ID me? She's hard in her 40s. Would you ID me? Would you ID me for cigarettes? I take it as a compliment.
No.
I think every time I get ID'd, I'm like, oh, I feel so young.
Bitch, please.
Such a fucking Karen.
Wow. Oh. Well, as you are familiar with the podcast, one of the things we are here to do is to battle Karens.
Karen of the week.
Yeah, it is the Karen of the week.
This is Karen. I'm your boss.
Oh, my God, Karen. 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 Oh, my God, Karen.
This is Karen. I'm your boss. Karen. This is Karen. I'm your boss.
How would you define a Karen, Zach?
Oh, geez.
Other than your former manager.
District manager.
Former district
manager. District manager.
My apologies.
I went after the dungeon master.
Hey. You went for the penultimate Karen.
Yeah, you know. I don't want to put that on my manager's plate. He's sad enough.
Fair enough.
He's a sad guy.
Well, he works for Speedway.
I hope he doesn't. I hope he found peace before that transition.
He's actually him and Joe Cocozello died at the same time.
Shared the same last breath.
Yep.
They were driving to the same bar. Oh, poor guys. They hit each other. I don't know. How do you define a Karen?
That's all right.
Self entitlement embodied in human form with like what I would call like a reverse mom mullet.
Okay.
Yeah.
We were talking about that before the podcast today about the Karen haircut
Karen haircut.
And it's unfortunate, but it's always the same. There's never it's never like. You know what I mean? Like it's that like it's short in the back, but a little bit up front, but it's still short. And like they're like, well, I don't do it because it doesn't take a lot of effort, but it takes a lot of effort to do that. Like it's kind of a bob, but it kind of isn't. I don't know. Like
it's tragic. That's what it is.
It's a tragedy. If you are not a Karen, you should not have a Karen haircut.
It's a full hair helmet. It's like strap it on.
Well, this podcast we don't. And it's not necessarily defined by a woman. There's male Karens on this podcast.
Oh,
we call
God.
Them Kierans. Because we do not discriminate.
If there's one thing we don't do.
Yeah.
Everything else, heroin, you put it out there.
And our Karen of the week is actually here, but I actually have a recording and she doesn't know which one I'm playing, so.
On Friday, November 1st at about 11 a.m., I stopped by this Starbucks and had worst customer service that I have experienced in my life. I bought a breakfast sandwich at another Starbucks. I didn't have a chance to eat it for about an hour. I stopped at this Starbucks and asked them if they could reheat it for me. The girl at the counter, no, I don't have her name, said no. They can't do that. I asked why, and she said, it's a health violation. I asked her to make me another sandwich, and she said, no, we can't do that, and that I can buy another sandwich if I want. Any decent person would have either reheated that sandwich or would have offered to make me a new one. These are the type of people that will destroy a business.
Someone who clearly hasn't worked in the food industry.
She needs, she needs to stop on by Speedway. Will you warm up they got my microwaves.
Yeah, there you go.
Problem solved. Hey, let's write it. Speedway, have us write your jingle. We're solving problems here.
Karens don't pump their own gas.
That's true.
For sure.
And that's coming from the voice of Karen, you guys. So that's biblical truth.
Hey, I have this Ziploc bag of hot dogs. Can you heap them up for me? Just walk into any restaurant and try that.
I just love, like, she waited an hour. Like, I'm going to... Who does that? Buys a hot sandwich. I'm like, I'm not going to be able to eat this for an hour. And they're probably traveling. By the sound of it, she was on the road.
Mm-hmm. What was she doing on the road?
You get the sandwich to go. You get in your car.
I'm assuming
drive-through.
And then you shamefully eat it in the parking lot. Yes. You don't want human contact. This is how things are done. It's 2020. Get your shit together.
Right. We're all sad in cars. It's a thing.
By the way, I'm sorry that
eating
I have to
parking lot sandwiches.
Rebecca is our Karen version 2.0, and I always for both you and Maddie, I always feel so bad about all the stuff I send you because, like, I'm like, here, you get to interpret this dredge of humanity, and you get to have fun with it. Go.
It's fun. Well, one thing I like to do, and this is just totally just something just twisted in my mind. Sometimes I go back on Yelp to restaurants that I hated working at and read the 1-star, 2-star reviews, and I chuckle in glee. Yes, because I'm like, that is right. They do suck.
So that's if you're wondering where she gets her inspiration from, ladies and gentlemen. There we go. It's Surly. Listen, episode number 22. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, Zach, gee, why did it fail?
Why did it fail?
This one's a fun one because it's actually a callback to the very original episode of the Awful Service podcast I did on my own that we've featured in the Lost Tapes with Jeff Tate. In that episode, I talked about it because they were building this restaurant and it failed spectacularly. The name of this restaurant is Tallywhackers.
It's not a real name.
Oh, it is, Nate. It is. Tallywhackers was going to be the male equivalent of Hooters.
Hell yes. John Stamos's from wall to wall, baby.
Just him and the mountain just together.
Greasing each other up. Yeah. Delivering wings.
Delivering wings in banana hammocks. This is true.
Got these naked guys, Matthew McConaughey on bongos.
Right?
All right.
That's how I'm picturing it. It's all right, all right, all right. Mm-hmm. That's what I like about it. No, so they this was a restaurant in Houston, Texas, which is a weird place to put this restaurant. Initially, it was started to be, because they thought, like, women were going to flock there, at least the owner and concept of it. But I was talking about this with my wife earlier today, and she's like, the internet exists, and also, if I want to do that, I'm going to go to the Thunder from Down Under. I don't need to eat shitty wings to see a dude in a banana hammock gyrating, you know? And she, that's a good point. So their clientele changed from women to gay men.
Of course it did.
And that was not what the restaurateur
in Houston, Texas,
was expecting.
No.
In Houston, no. We're actually going to be pulling up from an article that came out in July of this year, 2019. Remembering Tallywhackers, America's failed Hooters, but with dudes. Who would have thought that monetizing male objectification would have proved so difficult? this is a fun thing. In fact, there are more than 300 Hooters locations in the United States.
Yeah.
300. Coupling a chain restaurant experience with gaggles of lightly dressed flirty women as servers. What if you're looking to get that same experience, but with men? You had zero options whatsoever. That was the case until Tallywhackers came along. Modeling themselves after Hooters, Twin Peaks, and the Tilted Kilt. By the way, Twin Peaks is... I've never been to one, but I know porn exists. I can eat Buffalo Wild Wings and go on Pornhub any day. I don't... You know, or I can go to
a
strip club.
They have free Wi-Fi at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
You just go to Buffalo Wild Wings and jack off.
I thought that's what that place was for.
Just bring an iPad and set it up on a tripod and just have like videos of busty women walking around the entire time.
It's like I'm at Hooters.
Next closest one's 75 miles away. I don't know about driving that far.
In this article, he goes, tallywhacker is in fact an 18th century British slang for penis, yet it never solidly fell into the vernacular on either side of the Atlantic.
On either side of the Atlantic.
Like, if you, we all know what the fuck you're talking about. You're like seven, but it's a tallywhacker. It's your cock. At tallywhackers, staff wore uniforms that went a little higher up the scantily clad scale as their restaurant sisters.
Restaurant.
Oh,
God.
I don't feel so good.
I feel ill.
I know. I feel dirty. Per the local health code, servers were required to wear tank tops at least until later in the evening when most went shirtless. Below the waist, the guys, the whackers. That's what they called the servers at tallywhackers.
Why did this fail?
Wore only
name's Greg. I'm your whacker for this evening.
Can't wait to whack it all night long for you ladies.
Hey, my name's Biff. I'm gonna be your whacker this evening. Today's special is tube steak. They wore only fire truck red or gray boxer briefs that conveyed more than just a hint of what was beneath the fabric. You think they had stuffers?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because you can, you know, just like, well, with Hooters, like they push up their tits too. So it's,
yeah. Plus also it could probably get cold in those restaurants, you know, especially if you're only wearing like skin tight boxer briefs.
Keep it warm. Put a sock on it. That's what I've always said. My grandfather once told me, so keep it warm, put a sock on it.
Now, tallywhackers is just a faint memory of abs and underwear. Oh, sorry. I was in Houston. I do apologize. Opening in May of 2015 in Dallas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In the gayberhood of Oak Lawn.
So what are these words?
What are these, like, pun almost?
This was written by someone by the name of Tim Forster.
Tim, go okay, fuck it's yourself.
It's a gayberhood. Okay, I'm assuming it's a community where there's a decent-sized gay population. This is what I'm assuming from the word gayberhood.
Yeah.
And now, and they're shocked and dismayed that their clientele is mostly gay people.
Yep. Much like its widespread counterparts, tallywhackers was sexualized. No shit. Yet firmly not a strip club.
Firmly.
Tallywhacker firm.
The only thing officially getting whacked were customers' appetites.
This fucking writer. Okay.
Tim, go fuck yourself. I will say it again.
Yet some people were reportedly ejected for groping servers, and the staff were banned from hooking up with diners.
This is from the Wall Street Journal, right?
No, it's from the Tasteful Eater.
Oh, Eater.
We all know Eater.
Oh, yeah. I've been subscribed for years. They got a webzine.
As the underwear party uniform suggests, tallywhacker pushed euphemism and sexual innuendo further than your garden variety restaurant. The menu was filled with phallic foodstuffs such as abstinizers.
Oh, that's a stretch.
And cocktails.
Oh,
sure.
You're just saying cocktails.
No, on the menu, it was cock-tails.
I thought it was going to be rings.
As well as
the onion ring.
Rings. Ah, these
now,
burn.
If you're listening to this guy who opened this restaurant, we're telling you what you could have done.
Get your shit together.
There is also the S&M burger.
Ooh.
Swiss and mushroom. Duh. And by the way, the duh is in the article.
They should make it spicy so it hurts.
Hell yeah.
That's, see, again, this is why you failed.
Get your shit together. Listen.
And The Tallywhacker Sunday. Can we guess what it was? Oof.
Okay,
bananas
hold on.
And nuts.
The writer and the founder of said restaurant. This is what happens when not funny people try to be funny. This whole scenario.
We're just mocking you. But seriously, what do you think is in what a Tallywhacker Sunday is?
Semen.
Bananas.
It's a banana split.
Fudge. Wow.
You don't want a split banana. Do you want your banana split?
No, the bananas came whole in the Tallywhacker Sunday.
How many specialty hot dogs do they have on the menu?
I'm wondering.
Oh, there's kielbasas. There's, you know, fancy hot dogs. There's
spicy
Polish sausage. Yeah.
Right? Again, apparently none of those are on the menu. But they did have fried Brussels sprouts, flatbreads, and croque monsieur.
That's inappropriate.
They had croque monsieur.
Oh, that's not a euphemism?
No. That's a real
croque monsieur.
Yeah. Ooh la la. It was still on a different plane of existence than masculine standards of restaurants, burgers, steaks, and wings. So they had a variety of menu items. Again, they're going gourmet, and they were worried about he didn't understand why they were popular in a gay neighborhood with gourmet food and guys wearing like next to nothing. Big shocker. The article goes on. Yet all the croque monsieur and thinly veiled dicks in Dallas couldn't keep Tallywhackers open. It closed just a year after opening for business. Owner, oh my God, Rodney Duke.
It's not a real name.
He goes by Rod.
Rod Duke. told local media that Tallywhackers was simply moving, and yet it never reopened. That was it closed in 2016. There have been successful hospitality ventures adjacent to Tallywhackers that have met some success. Most notable is Boxers, which has three locations in New York City. But Boxers itself defines itself as a gay sports bar.
There you go.
You embrace it. You go full in.
That's
on
right.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Know your audience.
See, Tallywhackers never sold itself precisely and was spiritually closer to a Hooters in the format of a bar. You can't do that. Yeah. Like, no.
I think we've all lived in the current culture long enough to realize that women aren't just clamoring for dicks.
No, we're not dick a clamoring. It'd be more like, hey, want a server who asks about your day.
Yeah,
you
actually,
know?
No, that's what I was thinking. It'd be better if you had a server that came in with like a denim shirt that had some like grease stains. Like, I just checked all the air in your tires and
checked out my car. Oh, yes.
And came in and like, how you doing today? Is everything okay? Just worked on your car a little bit.
How's your mom?
How's your mom?
How's your mom?
By the way, what can I get you to eat?
She's awful.
While I'm at
it.
And is there anything else you need to do? Like, while you're eating, I'll have some free time. I'm only focusing on your table.
I hear you.
That's a brilliant business idea. What do we call it?
Ooh. John Stamos.
John Stamos.
Not to be confused with the actor. It's going to be a Greek restaurant.
Oh, of course.
You're going to be able to get lamb kebabs anytime you want. Mm-hmm. Also some beefcake. So yeah, that's weird that restaurant closed. It was he wanted to compete. He wanted to make it like this like national chain. He figured, you know where I'm going to put this is in a gay neighborhood in Dallas, but the women are going to come on out. I think in his head he had to have known that it was going to appeal to gay men.
He didn't want to admit it.
Yeah, maybe there's some other issues there with old Rod.
That old Rod. Old wrinkly Rod.
Old wrinkly Rod. You said that Tallywhackers was moving, but how do you know he wasn't just hitting on the reporter? Hey.
No, it's just his Tallywhackers.
Yeah.
He's
sorry,
becoming
I became
a hot rod
Joe
there,
Cozella
you know?
For a second there.
Oh my God. Oh, that lends itself to so many things. I just, but then like the shock of like, it didn't work out.
Mm. Oh, he just took all the money and just ran away.
A couple of the servers.
Yeah.
They're eating croque monsieur in the Bahamas right now.
Yeah.
They're on a
with a cock
yacht.
Hyphen tail.
Cock. tails.
Still in their uniforms.
Right.
And
boss,
also,
these are getting kind of dirty, Rod.
You can't expect servers in any restaurant to not hook up with a patron.
No, 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 no shit. Yeah.
It happens all the time.
All the time.
Right? And that's like a rule?
Yeah, apparently. I wonder
there's,
though.
There's so many flaws in how this.
It's because Rod didn't want to share all of his men.
Mm. Also, who's going to be super shredded and have big dicks? That's all your servers are going to be gay anyway.
Yeah, you're right. Oh,
or there's
man.
That one server that's like the dad bod, and we want dad bod. We want to be a dad bod section. You're like, Phil, what's up?
Flip me a burger.
Part of me kind of wished it had become a big thing because I would have gone there and applied, and when they would have fired me for having hired me for that, I would have sued the shit out of them. Like, what's wrong with my body? My body's beautiful. just I'm not that hairy.
Then Phil
hair?
Comes.
No.
Comes up is like, I just changed all the furnace filters in your house and got and I didn't know if you're low on batteries at all, so I got one pack of every kind, just so you have them in the house.
Battery in every smoke detector. Yep. I changed the oil in your car, too. I saw it was getting a little high up there, you know?
I got to go sharpen the lawnmower blades, but I'll be back to rub your feet.
Amazing.
Yeah, I'm also going to be doing your laundry while that's going on.
Yeah, just put on a fresh laundry.
Just sit down and watch some Cupcake Wars.
Oh, you smell that? Oh, yeah, I have a crockpot meal for us later, you know? Don't worry, I'm going to make enough so that you can bring some to work with you tomorrow, too.
Here's a glass of wine.
So if you're a restaurateur and you want to, you can invest in this. Nate and I and Rebecca, and we'll get Zach in on this. He'll write the theme song for
John
the
Stamos, no relation.
John Stamos, John Stamos, no relation restaurant.
Full title.
Where guys with dad bods do chores for you and bring you food.
Oh, there would be a yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
John Stamos, not by no relation, the restaurant where there's always a full house.
Everywhere you look.
Everywhere you go.
Do you need us to have a sit-down, heart-to-heart message with your daughter?
That's Bob Saget. We don't want a Bob Saget restaurant. There would be jizz everywhere.
Scram, Bob.
Yes, this is no relation.
No relation.
I think it's we have a good. This has been a fun episode. I think it's time to 86 it though.
I think so.
Before we do, we have our last segment, Zach. It's time for Human Yelp Reviews.
Hey, Human Yelp Reviews.
So you know how the Human Yelp Review works, right? You can review the podcast. You can review us individually. You can do it out of any metric you like. We like out of 5 stars, but you can do whatever you want. Zach, have at.
Oh, I've prepared something.
Wonderful.
These are always good.
Not a jazz fan then, huh?
There will be some light scatting towards the end. And feel free to applaud after the solo.
Okay.
That's just a jazz rule. You can applaud in the middle of a song. It's polite. Thank you. No, that's spoken word.
Yep, and poetry.
Yeah, poetry jams. Get it. Get your shit together.
It was the candles threw me off.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. That's my fault. Awful Service Podcast. The ambience at the comedy bunker is as advertised. Secluded. Safe. Musty. The show's jingles are top-notch.
Agreed.
Yeah. The show's premise? So-so. People love talking about themselves, but reminiscing about awful past jobs can bring up a lot of trauma. Plus, the host kept obsessively talking about the White Album and John Stamos.
I don't
disconcerting. Overall, the guest, 1 star. The show, 4 stars.
Hey. All right. Hey.
All right. Room for improvement. I like it. Yeah, you know, that's still 1 star above Tallywhackers, which only had 3 stars.
Hey.
I looked up the Yelp review. There's only 2 reviews.
What?
Yeah, there was only 2 reviews, and it's 1 year it was open.
Wow.
All right.
Let's find out more.
Zach, how do people follow you?
Oh, usually from the bushes.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, very. Sometimes in vans.
Okay.
Of course, check out Mr. Rogers and the Make Believe Friends. We're on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Mr. Rogers ATMBF.
And you're actually, there's a link from to your stuff on all of
our
stuff.
Just
too.
Click the podcast link and it'll show you the stuff. I think we might be playing a song from our newest release available on Spotify.
There'll be a tag at the end of this episode, which will actually have one
bit
of their songs.
Awesome.
Stick around.
So be sure to, at the end, you're going to listen to one of their tracks.
It's only 3 minutes long. You can do it. You can get through the whole thing. I believe in you. And there's a music video if you want to see our faces. Other than that, check out a make-believe Jerry Allricher, the wrestler that I support. Check out his stuff, Make-Believe Friends. And yeah, come hang out with us at the Live Pro Wrestling Show March 1st at the Minsky Theater.
All right.
Yeah.
Rebecca, how do people follow you? Hopefully not from bushes.
Politely. slight leering, but you know. So I'm Rebecca Wilson on Facebook and then Instagram. I am Rebecca.Rolera.Wilson. The Rolera is my mom's maiden name. And follow the Awful Service Podcast on Instagram. We are putting out content. So
we are.
Get it going.
And also follow us on Facebook. And I guess we're going to have to work on Twitter next. I'm good at the Facebooks because that's for old people. But Twitter is the next resort. Anyway, Nate, how do people follow you?
I am Nathan Smizrud on Facebook and N Smizrud on Instagram and Twitter.
And you can follow me, Matt Zoima, on Facebook and Instagram. I need to get better at doing my own Instagram. And you can follow me on Twitter, where I'm good at tweeting for myself, at Chubby Waiter, because I believe in truth and advertising. Beyond that, again, follow us again on all platforms. Make sure to message us your awful stories, because we do like the listener feedback. That last episode when we had the bus driver in Minneapolis was pretty epic. So we like that sort of stuff. It's time for us to go, but before we do that, what do we always say? Tip your fucking bartender.
Woo.
And go listen to some Make-Believe Friends.
And rest in peace, Joe Cocozella.
Rest in peace. Or get a good night's sleep, Joe, either way. And have a good night.
I have love, sweet love, overflowing hot containers and making messes everywhere. Love, ooh, love, it darkens my judgment. Now full steam ahead, boys, let's go. Less crowding the exits, let's light up and run through the snow. Don't let go. I have faith, steadfast faith, shattered by bullets and tattered to pieces I could spare. But it escapes, steadfast grace. Good and astounding, the awe never breaks through the cold. Their eyes set with regret, young faces getting old.
Yeah.
therapy for, like, if you're speaking or singing too much and mm-hmm. your voice is getting around. The name of the product is Throat Coat.
Yes.
And it's revolting. The name.
It's a tea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to use it plenty of times. Yeah. It's, you add a lot of honey to it.
Is it gross? I've never tried it. I've just heard people talk about
it. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
When you hear it's gross, you're going to try it and be like, I've
tasted. Well, I just think the name is gross.
Well, yeah.
Oh, you know, you're not all about that throat coat life?
Throat coat.
Throat that coat. God damn it.
Okay. Throat that coat. You heard that. Throat that coat.
You heard it here first? Brought
that,
to you.
Actually, Throat Coat is Coat That Throat is the follow-up hit to Slob on My Knob.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that was a three. I think that's the one 3-6 Mafia won the Academy Award for.
I think so. That sounds right.
If I had to guess, maybe.
Slob on My Knob, like corn on the cob. Give him a trophy.
Get in with me and do your job. Get in the bed and give me head. And then
would
the rest of it's
stop
like,
it.
Say something. I can't. I don't say that word.
Shakespeare.
Yep. 100%. You know, when I think of the great writers of our time, you know, there's Hemingway, Shakespeare, and Juicy J. Just, they're on the Mount Rushmore of beauty. I love it.
They all killed themselves, right?
Yes.
All of them.
Yep.
Well, Juicy J's slowly doing it with drank, so I think you're onto something. I don't know. All right, I think we got some good banter beforehand, Jalen. I'm sorry if you're listening to this, because I'm going to send you this part, too. So.
Jalen!
We love you. Get better. I hope you're good at masturbating with your left hand.